everyone, once again, good morning. And I want to begin this morning by telling you a story about something that happened about 3 weeks ago that was just a huge, huge, huge encouragement to me. Before I tell you what happened, let me give you a little bit of background. For the last, a couple of years, but more importantly, for the last maybe 6-7 months or so, God has been speaking to me a lot about different areas of my life. And specifically, He's been speaking a lot about SIBC and just kind of the future and the direction that maybe we're going to be going. He's been speaking to me about my preaching and the things that I teach here each week. And He's just been talking to me about my personal kind of ministry situation and how I'm serving now and how I might be serving in the coming months. And on the one hand, it's all kind of exciting just to have God speak to me. Yet on the other hand, there's also been a bit of a doubt and lack of confidence just in the things that I'm hearing, because I'm still learning how to hear God's voice. Right? I've been a Christian for like 30 years, and this is still kind of a new thing for me. And so I'm still, thinking to myself, is this really from God? Am I really hearing God, or is this just kind of my own voice or my own thoughts, my own ideas that I'm hearing? Is this really God, or is it just me, right? And so I kind of have this conflict going on inside of my heart these last 6-7 months, and it's creating a bit of anxiety. And it's kind of made it hard for me to really look ahead to the future with confidence, because I'm not confident if the things that are in my mind and in my heart, if this is really God. Now, if I knew that it was God, I could go forward, but I'm not sure. So it was kind of creating a bit of anxiety in me. Do you guys kind of understand that? Okay. Well, then 3 weeks ago, our family got together with a couple of other Christian families, and we ate dinner together. Then we had a time of worship together. And then after that, we took time to pray for one another. And someone asked me, Michael, what can I pray for you about? And I said, well, my teeth. Do you guys remember, some of you were here when we had the fellowship lunch at the end of March, right? And I was eating the sandwich and my tooth broke off. Remember that? Then a little bit later, I was eating the leftover communion bread and the tooth fell out again, right? It was the same tooth. It chipped off. So it was just, I had this big gaping hole in my teeth, right? And actually, I've been having pain in my teeth for since about December, right? So I asked him to pray for my teeth, right? So they got everybody together and they started praying for my teeth and just that the pain would go away and stuff. And they prayed for that healing for a minute or two. And then they began to kind of veer off topic. And people began to share with me things that God was speaking to them about me. They begin to say things like, Michael, I believe that the Lord is saying this, and they would share something. Or Michael, I think the Lord wants you to know that, and then they would share something. Or Michael, I kind of have this picture of this, and I think it means this. And about 6 or 7 people did that while they were praying for me, friends, and I got to tell you, every person who did that said the exact same thing that the Lord's been speaking to me over these last few months. I mean, if we were to record some of what people said, and I played it for you, you would think, wait, is that Michael preaching? No, it's someone else. Just the exact same things that's been on my heart, some of these things I have been thinking. Now, I had not shared my situation with anyone in that room. Except for Chris, nobody knew just these things that were kind of in my heart, in my mind. And so I knew that they weren't like, oh, I know Michael's kind of thinking about this, so I'll pray about that. I knew it wasn't like that. I knew they were hearing from God. And I knew that God was speaking through them to me. And as they were communicating to me the things that God was saying to them, right, it was a huge, huge blessing to me. You see, because through them, it confirmed that some of those strange, crazy thoughts that have been going through my head all these months maybe really were from God. Because not only had God been speaking those things to me, but to help me just feel confident about that, He also decided to speak those things to my friend, who then shared them with me. And now, so for me, I have this greater confidence, this greater certainty that just the things that are on my heart might actually really be from God. And now I know it's not just my own voice, but that God has been speaking to me. And just a lot of the anxiety I was feeling about some of the past here at SIBC, and as I was feeling anxiety about the future of SIBC, a lot of that now is gone. And I'm genuinely excited about just this next season that God has prepared for me, but also this next season that God has prepared for us. It was such an encouragement to me when God spoke to me through my friend. Now, I tell you this story today because, friends, that is an example of prophetic ministry in the body of Christ. And so for the next 2 weeks, I actually want to take some time to talk about prophecy in the church, right? As we continue on in our series called Rethinking Church, the whole purpose of this series is to really explore God's heart for the church, right? We don't want to do church our way. We don't want to just do church according to the traditions that maybe we grew up in. We really want to know God's heart for SIBC. And so when we gather here together on Sunday mornings as a church family, we just don't want to do what we want to do. We want to do church God's way. Right? And so that's what this whole series is about. And friends, today I hope you will see that part of God's heart is that we would be a prophetic people. As we look at the New Testament, I think it'll become really clear, at least I hope it will, in 40 minutes from now, I hope that it'll be clear to all of us that prophecy should be a very natural, very normal part of church life. Prophetic ministry should be just a very common thing that we do together when we gather as the family of God. Now, unfortunately, I think there's sometimes a lot of misunderstanding about prophecy. Maybe a lot of, sometimes even abuse when it comes to prophecy within the church. And for that reason, some Christians and some churches, they just want nothing to do with prophecy, right? You just mention prophecy, you mention, you know, prophetic ministry or prophets or something, and they're just like, no, thank you, it's not for me. And I understand that. And even here at SIBC, this really isn't something that we've talked about a whole lot, well, in the 15 years that I've been here. But friends, I'll tell you, this is something that's been on my heart for a long, long, long time. Right? This has been my prayer for the church for many, many, many years. But for a number of reasons, it just never seemed like it was the right time to talk about these things. You know, because we're an international church, we have people coming from all different kinds of church backgrounds and different things, right? And it just never seemed like it was the right time just to talk about this until now. And I really believe that right now here at SIBC, there is this genuine just openness and hunger for the things of God. I think there's this genuine desire to really do church God's way. And so today and next week, we're going to talk about prophecy. And let me just start by just saying this. Friends, prophecy, it's a good thing. Right? It's a God thing. Right? It's God's idea, as we'll see. It's His gift to the church. It's part of the church DNA. And so here at SIBC, I hope that we will really be open to maybe how God might want to add this area, this kind of ministry, prophetic ministry, to the life here at SIBC. And I think as God is getting ready to obviously do something new because He's moving us out into a new location, right? Maybe as we make that transition, maybe this will be something that we can really begin to think about and embrace as a church family. Okay, so today we're going to talk about kind of the biblical foundation for prophecy. And then next week we're going to get more into the kind of the practical aspects of what it means to maybe have prophetic ministry in the church. So today's theological, next week is practical. Both parts are really important. So I hope that you'll listen closely today and then you'll all come back next Sunday, right? Because we need both parts. So, one more thing before I start this morning. You okay, Noji? Okay. One more thing before I start this morning. As I was preparing this week, I was getting really confused between these two English words. And if I'm confused, well, that doesn't mean anyone else is, but I'll just do this anyway, right? These two words, right? And if you look at these two words, the only difference between these two words is the C and the S, right? And I'm a terrible speller anyway, so I was getting all confused. But here's the deal, right? Although it's just one letter different, right? That one letter changes the pronunciation of the word, and it changes the meaning of the word. Okay? So just so we know here, right? The word on the left, this is prophecy. Prophecy. This is a noun, right? Yogin. And then, of course, the other word is prophesy, which is the verb, right? Yogin suru. Okay? So as we're writing and you're seeing words up there and pay close attention. Is it a C or is it an S? The C is prophecy, the S is prophesy, and now we all know. All right. So, I know that this whole topic of prophecy might be new for some people, And because it might be new for some of us, well, we might not really know exactly what biblical prophecy is. Because sometimes when we hear the word prophecy, we think of people who can predict the future, right? We think of people, you know, a fortune teller or Notre Dame or, you know, someone who can predict the future. But actually, friends, biblical prophecy is actually very, very different than that. So let me try to give you a really simple definition of biblical prophecy. Ready? Here it is. Here's our definition. Prophecy is when God speaks to an individual and then that person communicates to others the word they've heard from God. I said simple, but that's kind of long, isn't it? But it's still simple if you think about it, right? Prophecy is when God speaks to an individual and then that person communicates to others the word they've heard from God. Right? Simply, prophecy is hearing from God and then speaking the things we hear. Take a look at how Peter describes prophecy. This was kind of his definition in 2 Peter chapter 1. He's talking about prophecy, and he says, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Right? You see, through the Holy Spirit, people speak the words that come from God. So from God to man and from man to man or woman to other people, right? And friends, I think this is important because prophecy doesn't come as a result of human understanding or human knowledge. It's not like someone's trying to look into the future and trying to predict what's going to happen. It's not about that at all, right? In the case of my friends, when they prophesied over me, they knew nothing about what was happening in my life. Right? And so when they spoke those things to me, I knew that it was the Spirit speaking to them. They were hearing from God. Because they didn't have those things through human understanding. As Peter says, it didn't have its origin in the will of man. You see, prophecy is when we hear from God and then we communicate to others what we hear. And that word that we communicate, it might be for an individual person. It might be for a group of people like a family or a church. That word might actually be a word for an entire city. Or as we'll see here in Scripture, maybe even for an entire nation. Right? But simply, prophecy is when God speaks to an individual and that person communicates to others the word they've heard from God. And friends, we see examples of this throughout the entire Bible. So let me quickly talk about prophecy in the Old Testament era. Friends, as we read the stories of the Old Testament, we see that prophets were a very, very important part of the history of Israel, of God's people, right? And basically, the Holy Spirit would come upon a certain individual and they would become God's spokesman. They would be God's messengers. They were the prophets. Now, early on in the history of Israel, the prophets were largely the leaders of God's people. Right? We see this in people like Moses, people like Deborah, Samuel. They were all prophets, but they were also leaders of the people of God. And basically, God would speak to the prophets. And He would give them wisdom. He would give them guidance. He would give them direction and commands and instructions and commandments. And He would give all these things to the prophets. The prophets then would pass those along to the people. And in this way, God was leading His people through the prophets. That's what we see early on in the history of Israel. Well, then, as you know, after a while, the people of Israel, they wanted a king. And so God gave them a king. And at that point, the king became the leader of the people. And the prophets then became, it wasn't an official kind of role, but they kind of became like advisors to the king. So if you read the stories of David especially, right? David, King David, and actually Saul before him, when they were facing a situation, maybe an army was coming and was going to attack them, and they didn't know what to do. Like, David would go to Nathan the prophet would talk to God, then God would respond to Nathan, and Nathan would talk back to David. So what it was God talking to the king through the prophet. And that's what we see often happening in the early years of the king. Well, as time went on, the kings kind of stopped asking the prophet for advice, right? Because as time went on, the kings of both Israel and Judah, and as well as the people, they kind of turned their backs on God, right? And they often went their own way. They worshipped idols. They worshipped false gods. And so during that time, the role of the prophet kind of changed. And instead, the prophet became like God's moral compass, if you will. Right? God would speak to the prophet, even though no one was asking the prophet, you know, what God had to say, right? God would still speak to the prophet, and then the prophet would deliver the message, often to an entire nation. Right? And through the prophet, God was often calling His people out of idolatry, calling them back into relationship with Him. And that's what we see in the last 17 books of the Old Testament, right? Those are the prophets. We have the long prophets, the major prophets, and the prophets who weren't so wordy. They were the minor prophets, right? But we have all of their writings. I think they wrote those things down because they knew that the word that they were receiving was for the entire nation. And so they wanted to write those down to make sure that everyone heard, everyone knew, everyone understood, everyone remembered what God was speaking through them. So in the Old Testament era, this role of prophet, it was always changing. But friends, during this whole time, all of the prophets had one thing in common. They all heard a word from God, and then they proclaimed what they heard. And that's prophecy. Now, do you know who the ultimate and greatest Old Testament prophet was? If you do, don't say it out loud, because this is a trick question. Do you know who the greatest Old Testament prophet was? It was Jesus. It's Jesus. We often think, oh, well, Jesus is New Testament, right? Well, yeah, we read about Him in the New Testament, but Jesus lived in the Old Testament era, didn't He? Because when did it change the New Testament era? When did just everything just change? Well, it was after Jesus died on the cross, right? It was after He rose from the grave. It was after the Holy Spirit came upon the early Christians in Acts chapter 2. That's when the whole New Testament era changed. So Jesus was actually lived in Old Testament times. And friends, He was a prophet. As we read through the four Gospels, we see a number of times people called Jesus a prophet. Here's one example. Matthew 21, verse 11, it says, the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Right? They understood that Jesus was a prophet. But Jesus wasn't just a prophet. Friends, Jesus was the perfect prophet. And let me tell you why. Take a look at Jesus, what He says. John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." See, Jesus didn't speak anything on His own. He only said what the Father told Him to say. A few chapters later, He says the same thing. He says, "So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." You see, friends, everything that Jesus ever said, He first heard from His Father. Right? And that's why Jesus is the ultimate, the perfect, the greatest prophet. Every word that came out of Jesus' mouth was prophetic because every word came from the heart of God. Now, not every prophet is like that, right? Most prophets, most of the words they speak are just their own words. Right? But there are times when God speaks through them. But Jesus was different. Jesus was unique. Everything Jesus said, He first heard from His Father, and then He communicated that to the people around Him. And friends, that's what prophets do. They hear from God, and they speak to others the words they've heard. And these prophets played a major, major role in Old Testament era. Okay, now before we move on to New Testament era, maybe it's helpful for me to mention some of the various types of prophetic words that we see in Scripture, and especially that we see in the Old Testament. Because when the prophets spoke from God, they actually covered a whole wide range of subjects and topics. So we'll go through these really quickly, and you'll see why at the end, why I share these with you. But we'll just quickly look here at types of prophetic words. And the first one would be words of warning, rebuke, and correction. Right? When God spoke through the prophets, He often spoke words of warning, rebuke, and correction. This was usually when God's people were living in sin, when they were in rebellion to God. God would need to warn and rebuke and correct them, right? And His desire for doing this was to bring people back into fellowship with Him, right? And that was always His desire, was to lead people back to Him. And so we often see these kinds of warnings, especially in the prophetic books of the Old Testament, those last 17 books I talked about. It's God warning, rebuking, and correcting through the prophet. Right. Another type of prophetic word is, I don't know how to say this, but words of the future plans of God. Right. Sometimes God wants to reveal His plan and His purpose for a person's future or a group of people's future. Right? And so God does this sometimes by revealing a part of his future plan, right, through a prophet. Right? And so a prophetic word, and so in this way, a prophetic word might be about the future. But friends, we have to see, it's not so much the prophets predicting the future, right? It's not about predicting, it's just, they're just passing along what God has revealed to them. And sometimes God, just to give us hope, to give us encouragement, He wants to kind of share with us the plans and the thoughts that He has for us. And He gives us a little glimpse of what the future might hold. Right, I think a good example of this is when the Old Testament prophet prophesied about the coming of a Messiah. Right, to some of the various prophets, God had prophesied, or God had spoke to them that one day, He was going to send a child who would be Emmanuel, born in Bethlehem, right? Who was going to be the Savior of all their people. Right, and the prophets didn't really know what this was all about, but they faithfully recorded it down. You see, but that was God just giving a little glimpse, a little hint of the future plan He had for His people. And so that's one of the types of prophetic words that the Lord likes to speak. It's words of His future plans for us. Right, we also have words of direction and wisdom from God. Right? Sometimes God wants to lead and guide His people. So He speaks to one person, like Moses is a good example. He'll speak to one person, and that person will give the wisdom and direction to the intended audience. All right. We also have, right, teaching and instruction, words of teaching and instruction from God. Right, when God wants to teach something to a person or to a whole group, right, God will sometimes reveal that to one person, and that one person becomes the messenger. They share that message with the rest of the people, right? Of course, this is what Jesus often did, right? Right? A big part of Jesus' ministry was teaching and proclaiming. And what did He proclaim? Mostly the kingdom of God, right? Right? God wanted to reveal what life in the kingdom was like, and the way He did that is He spoke that to His Son, and then Jesus proclaimed it and taught it to us. Right? And because everything that Jesus said first came from His Father, His teaching was prophetic. So, we have teaching and instruction. Right, another type of prophetic word is a word of promise. A word of promise, right? As we look through the writings of the Old Testament prophets, we see some amazing promises from God. Right, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, what a wonderful promise from Isaiah. Right, but God likes to speak promises. And then finally, right, words of encouragement, comfort, and blessing. Words of encouragement, comfort, and blessing. You know, sometimes God, you know, He's a loving Father, right? He wants to encourage and comfort and bless His children. You know, the last half of the book of Isaiah is a good example of this. Just through the prophet Isaiah, that's exactly what God was doing. He was just comforting, encouraging His people. So friends, here we have this different type of prophetic words that we see in the Scripture. And as you can see, there's lots of things that God wants to communicate to us, right? And one of the ways He does this is He often does this through prophecy. God speaks to one person, and that person communicates to others the things that they've heard. Okay. All of what I've said until now has been for us to talk about this, because this is where it starts to get really fun. Prophecy in the Old Testament, yeah, it was really important. It was a big deal. But friends, the good news is, this is still God's heart for today. Right? In Acts chapter 2, when the New Testament era began, friends, we see that prophetic ministry became a natural part of church life. And even today, we're still in this New Testament era, right? Right? It hasn't ended, right? We're still in that era. That means anything we learn and read about prophecy from the Scripture, from the early church, still applies to us today. We're still in the New Testament era. So let's talk about prophecy in the New Testament era. And specifically, I want to talk about prophetic ministry in the church today. And I'm going to use the phrase prophetic ministry instead of prophecy. Well, I'll tell you why in a little while. But I like that phrase prophetic ministry. And when we get to number four, I'll explain why. But here we go. Four things about prophecy in the New Testament era. First one is this. Friends, prophetic ministry is God's design for the church. Prophetic ministry is God's design for the church. And there's a number of places we see this in the New Testament. But let's start, well, where it all started. We'll start in Acts chapter 2. As you may know, in Acts 2 we read about Pentecost. That's the day the Holy Spirit was released upon the church, right? And this is important because before Acts chapter 2, only certain people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Only those people who were especially chosen by God received the Holy Spirit. Usually it was kings, it was priests, it was prophets, and it was artisans or craftsmen, like jewelry designers. No, G. Right? They were the ones in Old Testament who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone else, tough luck. Right? Common people like you and I, no Holy Spirit prior to Acts chapter 2. You see, but that's the amazing thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, and we'll see in a moment, this was God's plan for a long, long time. God released His Spirit. And then from Acts chapter 2 on, every single person who believes in Jesus Christ is immediately the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them. And so on the day of Pentecost, as people are receiving the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter, he got up and he began to preach this sermon. And specifically, he began to teach from the Old Testament prophet Joel. Take a look at what Peter says in his message. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, Peter says. In the last days, and according to Peter, the last days started on that day. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Friends, do you see what happened? Right, through the prophet Joel, God was looking ahead to the day when He would one day give His Spirit to all people. And then part of God's heart, part of God's heart, He was probably just waiting for this to happen, was that on that day or from that day, His people would begin to prophesy. He would no longer just have special people who would be the prophets, but on that day, once the Holy Spirit was now living inside of all of His people, He said they would all begin to prophesy. That was God's heart. That was God's plan long before this even happened, way back in the time of Joel, 300-400 years earlier. But friends, here we see that prophetic ministry is God's plan. It's God's heart. It was God's design for the church. Hundreds of years before it even began to happen, God was thinking about it. He was planning it. He was waiting for that time. Right? Prophetic ministry is God's design for the church. We also see this in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, right? Paul's talking about life in the body of Christ. And look at what Paul says in verse 28. Paul says, in the church, someone has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and then and he mentions more people. Okay, who's the someone? God. God appointed. And what did God appoint? Prophets. Friends, prophets in the church are God's idea. Right? God was the one who thought it up. God was the one who thought, hey, this would really be good for the church. It was God's idea. It's His design for the church. Right, we also see this in Romans chapter 12. This is Paul talking about spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given to the different members of the body of Christ. And Paul writes this: we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Friends, here we see one of the gifts that God gives to the church is what? It's the gift of prophecy. Right? Our Father is a good Father. He likes to give good gifts. One of the good gifts He's given us is this gift of prophecy. Friends, prophetic ministry is God's design, God's heart, God's plan for the church. Okay, one more verse here. This is Ephesians 4:11. We talked about this a few months ago when we were talking about leadership in the church. But here it is again. Ephesians 4:11 says this: it was He, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Right? Another example. That Jesus is the one who gave prophets to the church. Friends, clearly, clearly, prophetic ministry is part of God's plan, God's purpose, God's heart, God's idea, God's design for the church. Okay. Let's go on. Number two. All right, prophetic ministry strengthens the church. Prophetic ministry strengthens the church. And this kind of makes sense, right? If God's going to give a gift to the church, you know it's going to be helpful for the church. And it is, right? Take a look again at Ephesians 4. We just read this. But this time we're going to add verse 12, right? It says, and it was Christ who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And then verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Friends, what happens when there are prophets in the church? The body of Christ is built up. All right, we also see this in Acts 15. Look at what it says here. This is that Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much, to encourage and strengthen the brothers. As prophets, what did Judas and Silas do? They strengthened and encouraged the church. That's exactly what prophets are supposed to do. Take a look at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their what? Their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, earlier I showed you the six types of prophetic words, right? Well, friends, I believe God wants to still speak in all of those ways today. He uses prophetic ministry to speak in all of those ways. But as we look at the New Testament, it seems that the main purpose of prophecy in the church, the main purpose of prophetic ministry is to strengthen and encourage and comfort and build up the body of Christ. That's exactly what happened to me a few weeks ago. As my friends prophesied over me and my family, I was greatly encouraged, greatly built up. Prophetic ministry strengthens the church. All right? Okay, let's keep moving on here. Number three, prophetic ministry is a foundation of the church. It's actually one of the foundations that the church is built on. We see this in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 and 20, Paul writes this. He says, consequently, you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. That's the church, right? And now he describes the church. The church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. You see, friends, according to Paul, the prophets, along with the apostles, right, are the foundation for the household of God. They're the foundation that the church is built on. Everything else in the life of the church, everything else that we do as we gather together as a church family, are built upon this apostolic and the prophetic ministry. Now, I think apostolic ministry is the making of disciples of all nations, right? Prophetic ministry is hearing a word from God and then proclaiming that word to others. And according to Paul, those are the two things the church is built upon. And so because prophetic ministry is one of the foundations of the church, friends, I think it's pretty clear to figure this out, but if we want to be a strong church, then we need prophetic ministry, don't we? We need prophecy in the church. Because if there's no prophetic ministry, then, well, our foundation is going to be incomplete, right? Our foundation is going to be weak, and as we all know, the foundation is the most important part of the building. Friends, I don't want to be weak. You don't want to be weak. We don't want to be weak. So I think we need to seriously consider this prophetic ministry. It is to be one of our foundations. Okay. And then number four. And I saved the best for last. So if you've been napping, time to wake up because this is where it gets really good. Friends, prophetic ministry is for all Christians. Prophetic ministry is for all Christians. Friends, this is the big difference between the Old Testament times and New Testament times. In Old Testament times, only a few people could prophesy. Why? Because only a few people had the Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament time, right, we all have the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can all prophesy. This is kind of the same thing we talked about a few months ago when we talked about priests. Remember that? In the Old Testament, only a few people were priests. Only a few people could minister before the Lord and could draw near to God. But now the New Testament says that all Christians are priests, right? We all can minister before the Lord. We can all draw near to God. Friends, I think it's the same here with prophetic ministry. In the Old Testament, some people were prophets, but in the New Testament now, everyone can prophesy. Now, of course, the Bible says that even in New Testament times, even today, that there will be still prophets, right? There will be, I think, certain people within the body of Christ who will have a special anointing, a special gifting as a prophet. We might even call them a prophet. And the church needs those, right? Scripture says we need those. And while not everyone in this room will be a prophet, in fact, maybe only one or two might actually become a prophet, but we can still all prophesy. Only some might actually be prophet, but we can all prophesy. It's just kind of like some people might have a gift to serve, but we still all serve, right? Some people might have a special gifting to give, but we are all supposed to give, right? It's kind of the same way, right? Some might be really gifted in prophecy, but we all can prophesy. All Christians can prophesy. And this is kind of what we saw back in Acts chapter 2, right? Right, Joel, right? When he prophesied, who did he say would prophesy? According to verse 17 and 18, he said, sons and daughters, servants, men and women would prophesy. Now, if you are a son or a daughter or a man or a woman here today, raise your hand. All sons and daughters, men and women, raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty much everyone, right? You know what? You can prophesy. Right, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you're a son or a daughter, a man or a woman, right, you can prophesy. In fact, Paul says that we should actually want to prophesy. Paul says this should be the desire of our heart. Take a look here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Paul says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Did you know that we could seek spiritual gifts? Did you know that we can ask God for spiritual gifts? Well, according to Paul, I guess we can. Right? So he said it's good to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But of all of the gifts that God gives, and let's make this clear, all of God's gifts are good, right? Every gift that He gives is good and helpful for building up the church. But Paul somehow says that there's something about prophecy that is especially good and especially helpful for building up the church. And so Paul says, I want you to eagerly desire that gift of prophecy. Paul wants us to be hungry to hear God's voice. He wants us to have this desire to be able to hear God's voice so that we can then take the things that we hear and use them to encourage and bless and build up one another. And Paul doesn't say it's just for a few special people. He says, hey you guys, he's speaking to the whole Corinthian church, right? Eagerly desire this. Put this on the top of your prayer list. Get hungry for this. That's how important Paul says it is. And friends, why does he say that's important? Well, we keep reading down verse 31. Right, he's talking about how they gather together in their worship services like we're doing now. And he says, for you can all prophesy in turn, take turns doing it. Why? So that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. You see that? Friends, we should be eager to prophesy so that we can encourage and build up one another. I think that's the main purpose of prophetic ministry in the church. And the exciting thing is that is something that we can all do. Right? This isn't just for special people. You don't have to go to seminary or anything like that, right? As we allow the Holy Spirit just to work in us, and as we learn to hear God's voice, friends, every one of us can be used by God to strengthen and build up the church family. And that's why I decided to use the phrase prophetic ministry instead of prophecy. Right? I could have said prophecy is for all Christians, right? But I wanted to use the phrase prophetic ministry because I want you to see that it is a ministry. It's not something we just hear from God so that we can be all proud about ourselves. We hear from God so that we can minister to one another. Right? Through prophecy, God wants us to build up one another. That's what it means to be a family. It's not just one person doing it to everyone else. It's something we do together, to each other. It's one of the ways that we as a church family strengthen and build one another up. Friends, through prophecy, we allow God to speak to people and minister to people through us. Prophetic ministry is for all Christians. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting? Well, oh my, look at the time. We're running out of time, so I need to wrap this up. And I know that I've just kind of maybe thrown lots of information at you today, and if it was kind of too much, I apologize for that. But if this is kind of overwhelming too much, friends, here's the thing that I really just hope that you'll hear today. Friends, prophecy is God's heart, God's plan, God's purpose for the church. And I think it was true in the early church, and it's still true for us today. I think that prophetic ministry can be and should be just a common, natural part of our life together. When we gather together, right, this is something that I think the Lord wants to do in us and through us. And therefore, as we desire to be a strong, growing, healthy, effective, fruitful church, I hope that we will really consider embracing this gift that God has given to us. Now, unfortunately, here at SIBC, this is not something that we're very strong in right now. And there's no shame in that. Right? The shame is in if we just refuse to, I don't want to touch that. Right? That would be hardness of heart, and that's not good. But there's no shame in just not knowing that this is something we can seek, or not knowing that this is something God wants to do. Right? And so, but we're not very strong in this area. I think one of the reasons why is just our current style of worship kind of prevents this from happening, right? I mean, for the last 45 minutes, who's been doing all the talking? That'd be me. Right? And even if God laid something on your heart, a word of encouragement or comfort or something that He wanted you to share with others, have I stopped talking long enough for you to say anything? No. You see, and I think just the way we do church, there isn't that opportunity really for us to minister to one another in this way. And friends, that is yet another reason, not that we need any more reasons, but it's another reason for us to really seriously rethink church. So we know God's getting ready to change where we meet. The big question is He also wanting to change how we meet, how we gather together? Right. So next week we'll actually continue talking about this, and we'll actually get more practical, and we'll talk about maybe how to become a prophetic people, and how to grow in prophetic ministry. So I really hope that you will join us next Sunday. But finally, this morning, I just have two simple prayers that I want to ask you to pray. And as much as possible, I really want to encourage you just to pray these every day this week and a number of times a day if you can remember. But here's the two simple prayers, and I'll end with this. First prayer is this: Lord, please help me to hear Your voice. You know, friends, God's speaking to us. He's speaking to all of us. But sometimes we don't hear His voice because we're distracted by other things. Sometimes we're not taking time to listen. Sometimes we hear His voice, but we don't recognize it, that it's actually God, right? So our prayer this week is, Lord, help me to hear Your voice. He's our good shepherd. We know He's speaking to us. As good sheep, we want to learn to hear. Second prayer is this: Lord, please give me the gift of prophecy. Paul tells us that to eagerly desire this gift, right? So if Paul tells us to eagerly desire, let's eagerly desire this week. Let's ask God to give us that gift of prophecy. So as we begin to hear His voice, we can actually be used by Him to build up and strengthen and encourage one another. So Lord, please give me the gift of prophecy. Those are two prayers I encourage you to pray this week as much as possible. Pray those every day. And if you can remember, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, pray those prayers. I encourage you to do that because, friends, I believe this is God's heart for SIBC. So right now we're going to take some time for kind of worship. But as you know, our worship here is it's very quiet. If you want to not worship and just take time to pray, then I encourage you to do that. In fact, you might want to take time now just to pray those two prayers. Lord, help me to hear Your voice. Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. We also have communion available at this time. Just any time during these next three songs that the Lord leads you, you can get up and you can walk over to the table, rip off the bread, dip it into the juice. It's your way just to remember Jesus, your way to draw near to Him. Let's go ahead and do that now.